welcome to the Astro All-Stars podcast. I'm your host, Vanessa Montgomery, pro astrologer and author of Star Power and Cosmic Power. This podcast is for you if you're an astro-curious modern mystic and ready to free your mind, own your power, and create your world. Let's go! Hey, darlings, how are you today? I'm here to have a chat to you about the Monarch Maker, the Royal Conjunction, where Jupiter crowns Saturn. If you haven't already heard about the Great Conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn and the Great Mutation, that is also this conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn, partly, this one's for you. A little bit of a year-ahead forecast, trend prediction, talking about history, what happened last time and the time before and what it all means. We'll break it down. It's quite a big one, second only, I suppose, to last January's, a year ago, 2020, the Pluto-Saturn and then Jupiter in the mixed conjunction in Capricorn, which was a huge beginning of a new cycle. So it's just me and you today, one-on-one. Getting to know each other better, getting a bit more familiar, leaving my comfort zone of talking with a guest, actually, living my best seventh house life, and coming out into the 11th. I've got Moon in the 11th, but Chiron too, conjunct the Moon. So it's definitely leaving the comfort zone. So it's this Jupiter-Saturn conjunction is a 20-year cycle, synodic cycle it's called, when there's the cycle of two particular planets, or two any planets, in this case, these planets. So it's called the Monarch Maker because 20 years is about the lifetime a ruler can rule and can rule even. So these were the two outermost planets before telescopes were strong enough to see more. That we could see with the human eye. So they're really important in describing astrology and what it's got, understanding and translating and interpreting the astrology of the time that's been passed to us. So it's also called the Great Chronocrator because it's like two hands of a clock. And Saturn, of course, being Kronos originally. So the Great or Grand Conjunction, 20-year cycle is 2020 to 2040. And they were exact in their conjunction on the winter solstice, northern hemisphere, summer solstice in southern hemisphere, 21st of December. So that means the sun was at the beginning of its yearly cycle as well. Really, that's the beginning of a new year if you're going to use a solar cycle. The sun, well, for the northern hemisphere, the sun is at the end where it's at its weakest, which means it's also at the beginning where it's about to climb up into its waxing cycle. So the Great or Grand Conjunction, 20-year cycle, the Great Mutation, it also is, which means it's going to have these 20-year hookups in air for 200 years. So there'll be 10 hookups, one of which has already happened, actually, in 1980. We'll get to that. And that finished when there was a meetup in Taurus for the last 200-year Earth cycle hookups and now into air for 200 years. So that's a 200-year cycle, 20 years, 200 years, and then an 800-year cycle. Those 10 meetups in air for 200 years happen every 800 years, making it a 2,400-year cycle. So that's a big cycle. So this particular one will outlive us all, except the first phase, which is that 20-year section where they have just met up. They'll get to the square, waxing square, opposition, waning square, and then back to a conjunction. They'll do that for just under 200 years now, since we've had one in Libra in 1980, actually, and then a water cycle will follow on from that. So this Jupiter-Saturn alignment, what is a conjunction? A conjunction is just when two planets meet up. at the beginning of that cycle, as we've just mentioned. That's the astrological term for that. Let's break down Jupiter. Jupiter themes. Jupiter is known as the guru. Guru simply means teacher. The key to Jupiter really is growth and expansion. So therefore, optimism, faith, and there's going to be movement and mobilization because you have to move to get out of your comfort zone and grow towards the horizon. And it overarches a set boundary or a point. That's its job and its purpose. It doesn't mean it's always right, but it is very useful when you want to get that movement and growth happening and apply some positivity. So with Saturn themes, Saturn's a different type of teacher. It's very associated with the wisdom gained through experience and time. Saturn is associated with time and therefore the experience that just naturally comes with it. So Saturn is often correlated with maturity as well, of course. And Jupiter might be growth and expansion, where Saturn is contraction and limitation. Saturn is crystallization, solidifying, consolidating. It's a reality check, serves the reality check, and in a lot of cases, reality bites. It structures and it creates boundaries. Or it's associated with those things as well. Whereas Jupiter is optimistic and has the faith, Saturn can be pessimistic and have the fear. It can overdo a reality check. It might not be right. It might fear, and that fear might not be correct. The truth might be between the Jupiter and the Saturn, actually. So often Jupiter will make the boom and Saturn will make the bust. Same with the signs they rule, Sagittarius and Capricorn. So if Saturn is you stuck, wedged in a crumpled, crashed car, Jupiter is the jaws of life. And I'm thinking we could see this expansion and contraction in areas correlating to Aquarius, of course, because they're meeting up now in Aquarius, which also means that if you have Saturn in Aquarius or Jupiter in Aquarius in your birth chart, you have a return on those. So you have a Saturn return or a Jupiter return as well. So these planets meeting up in Aquarius, is this the dawning of the age of Aquarius like I've been reading? I don't think so. I'd say in a nutshell, no. It's something more like the precession of the equinoxes. And to explain that, we'll enter the age of Aquarius when the vernal point precesses to Aquarius, which is around 2356. It's currently at 5 Pisces, so it's really close. It goes backwards, precess. So it's at 5, with 5 more to go. Due to the Earth's tilt, the vernal point moves 1 degree of the zodiac every 72 years. So we have 5 degrees at 72 years each degree before Aquarius leads the zodiac, marking the age of Aquarius. However, we're within 5 degrees, so we're in orb and can see the transition taking place and the place of technology and connectedness, also balanced by equal distancing. That entire cycle is 26,000 years and called a great year. So that's a little tangent onto the age of Aquarius. Currently, of course, we're in the age of Pisces, 2,000 years, and we've had, it's been very correlated to Christianity, whose symbol is the fish. And there was also a conjunction of, yes, Jupiter and Saturn around that time as well, when the precession of the equinoxes did go into Pisces. That meetup was also in Pisces and had a 200-year cycle. So that made it extra strong. The more planets that get involved in a configuration, the more likely you're going to see a larger, more obvious external, or we call it mundane, event. So the mini age of Aquarius, I'm calling this the mini age of Aquarius. And in my mind, I hear mini air age and mini ice age for some reason. And Aquarius is known to be very cool, or the air signs generally very cool intellect. So there's a focus on air, and air, the element of air is associated with communication, thought, ideas, sharing ideas, with Aquarius being the transpersonal air sign, the third of the three. It's interested in the group, so information and technology that affects a lot of people, thinking about a lot of people, sociology, long-form writing, the internet, it connects everyone. Air is about connecting ideas and people through communication and our minds. It's very social, has a strong social and humanitarian conscience. I think writing certainly will come into play somehow, or tech up somehow. Communication will take that leap. So, yeah, the means of sharing knowledge, which is the technology. Last time these guys met up in an air sign, that which was like a prequel, a little mini prequel of this set. So this really isn't the first in 800 years, but it's now solidly for the next nine cycles in air. So 1980 to 2000. It had met up in Libra, and of course that was the beginning of the technological curve, in a way. The mobile phones that we're using now, really, you know, the bricks came in then, the internet and computing, and the, you know, Apple computers really took a leap once they got colorful, and that was getting further into the 90s in that particular cycle. So it shows how that cycle grows. And then the cycle met up in Taurus, and everything went a bit back to the earth. That reality bites, the dot-com bubble burst. I think it was lost 80%. That's a big bust of a bubble there. There's a lot of air in that bubble, and we went to back to a bit more of a earth vibe, which is more practical, and perhaps a check, you know, redesign and getting these things to be more functional. So, and perhaps even building infrastructure and structure for things. So Ray Merriman, who is a financial astrologer, he points out that last time, interestingly, like last time, 800 years ago, the Inquisition began almost right on the dot, very close to when this cycle happened, well, began to happen, the first part. So the Inquisition began as a way to quell heretics that didn't align with the dominant church belief. And he wonders if the fake news now may enforce shutdowns on social media, as we've already started to see with Frump kicked out of Twitter and the account shut down, as well as a lot of other things around COVID being cited as misinformation, whether it is or isn't. Some probably is, some might go down that could be useful, but that is starting to happen. So I think that was interesting that he drew that correlation. Of course, detached, Aquarius is detached, it's scientific, and it's experimental. It's the scientist. So lots of experimenting and tech, rarefied, oceanic thought, analytical. Aquarius is the alien, and it's alien doesn't necessarily mean aliens from Mars or wherever, another galaxy, but it could. It means it's alien to us. It's alien technology. It's something we can't even conceive of yet. You know, it's just completely out of the box where we are. It's the, you know, second last sign. So it's way beyond us. You know, it's progressive. It's social change and social awareness. It's very, very progressive. And Aquarians can often be very progressive. It's very group oriented and communal. Of course, transpersonal air. There's the personal, there's the interpersonal, and then there's that transpersonal, which is group, communal, communes, different ways of living, communal, different ways of sharing information, and particularly knowledge. Aquarius is certainly involved with knowledge and high academia. It's very accepting of difference. All colors make a painting. You know, a bit boring just having the one color, but you know, if you do it well, I guess. So science and tech-based rational left brain thought is a thing, and I have to say the amount of Aquarians I know that are they seem really out there, but then there's a side that, I guess that's the fixed side. They are less likely to cross that line. Being an astrologer, obviously, you know, I've been into yoga forever, and things that just seem quite normal now, really, I had a few of my Aquarian friends not wanting to step over that line, but they're so good at being cool and still accepting. I actually didn't quite realize at the time. So that was interesting. Of course, there's a lot of Aquarians into astrology and these things too, because they are progressive. So that's interesting. And of course, astrology is, they say, ruled by Aquarius. It's associated with Aquarius, this kind of knowledge. And in some ways, the eighth house, if you're looking at a chart, and Scorpio, because of it's a way of understanding the mechanics, the invisible mechanics of things and the interrelatedness. But Aquarius rules it. So Aquarius pitfalls, every sign and planet has them. So Aquarius, a big one, can be ungrounded in reality. Could be a great idea, but is it really useful? Does it even work? A mad science is certainly one, and the group at the cost of the individual, and the individual at the cost of, their reality. So this can be just no eye on practicality. It's not necessarily a practical sign. You would use practical, the word practical, for the earth signs. So especially in everyday practicality, and perhaps that's where we'll see the Uranus in Taurus square, which is really a big headline for this year, Uranus in Taurus squaring and bringing a challenge to the Saturn and Jupiter in aqua period. So testing, trial and application, whoops, maybe back to the testing phase. Could be that thing there, and that's that Jupiter-Saturn as well, the growth and contraction. So Aquarius loves humanity, but if you can read this, you are standing too close. That's the joke about Aquarius. They love humanity but don't like people. So they're not personal, they're transpersonal. It's really about that larger group situation. So Saturn going into Aquarius, the planet of limitation and solidifying and reality bites and reality checks of grit and determination, the thing that you work hard at to master. So the original social distancer, Jupiter may amplify the distance, social restriction, but also social responsibility could be the upshot of this transit. Social structures, if you combine the keywords of Aquarius and Saturn, socially structuring as well, with both of those planets, social laws, laws that are more humanitarian, rewriting those laws to be more inclusive, to outliers as well. Aquarius is very much associated with the outlier, the people on the fringes of society and the margins. So Dame Mary Beard, who is a professor of classics at Cambridge University, professor of ancient literature at the Royal Academy of Arts, classics editor of the Times Literary Supplement in England, she's English, and so much more. She's an elder and a professional academic. To me, she embodies a Saturn in aqua vibe because of that. She has the Saturn age of maturity. She has this wealth of knowledge she's gained over time that you can only gain with time, and therefore you will be an elder if you have that kind of history behind you. In Aquarius, she's an academic. By doing what she does, she's rebranding Saturn in Aquarius as well as the academic, as well as the professor, as well as the classics professor, you know, of ancient Greek classics. So she has a quote that I like that is, you cannot easily fit women into a structure that is already coded as male. You have to change the structure. So that can apply to anyone that isn't the dominant, you know, white male, basically, or a certain look and what that person is meant to be like as well. You have to change the structure. It sounds like she's saying you have to change the system. Everyone is asking for equality. But what can we do? listening to and reading Mary Beard's work around this idea, I say we change our language to be more inclusive, which has been happening, which has been exciting, and open our minds to new possibilities and our concepts to broad representation. And, you know, the thing is, most of us have been ingrained, indoctrinated with a certain way of seeing things. So we've developed biases. And, you know, that's okay, but it's what we do with them now. So, you know, a lot of things through my life I've broken out with because I've just gone into my head and caught myself every time. It's just no judgment, just like catch it. It's just becoming consciously aware of the thing and exposing yourself to critics and critiques and people talking about things that may make one uncomfortable, which a lot of us have done this year, including myself, and it has really helped me become more aware of things, which is a bit of a personal hobby. I really enjoy doing that. I love that process because to me, that's a real path of liberation and intellectual liberation. And any bias you hold on someone else, guess what? You're holding it on yourself. You're not free if someone else isn't free. Like, you're not free within. That's the way I see it. So I really embrace that. Doing it in a detached way is ultimately very Aquarian and something to aspire to. But, you know, it can be, you know, the ego gets involved and it can be stressful. Like, I've had to definitely unplug through 2020 here and there. Just too much sort of stress and anxiety. So I just sort of have a break and then I come back into things and I'll just listen to different voices and different perspectives, especially different experiences, because you don't know what you don't know, but you can probably relate to it somewhere in your life, actually. And that's a bit of a key as well. So the internet is here to help us with that. And I think we've all had a massive learning curve because of it. You know, equal rights, equal marriage got passed. I think that was really the first and the beginning of so many things because we're exposed to so much en masse through social media and the internet, which is, that's the positive side. The difficult side is there's a lot of information to process and, you know, probably in 1 month we have exposed ourselves to more ideas and concepts than most people used to in a village in their whole lifetime, you know, maybe even in a week. So I hope that, well, we already have started to appreciate our social connections. Social connections are a big one that connecting socially. Aquarius and air generally likes to bring people together, but still have that space between them. It's not water. Water merges. Air has that space, a cool space. So you're two separate people or a separate people that make the group. So the mini age of Aquarius, the mini ice age. If you have Saturn in Aquarius, Saturn is in each sign for 2.5 years. It's a 28 point something year, 5 year orbit. So you're having a Saturn return. So happy Saturn return. And if you have Jupiter in Aquarius, of course, you're having a Jupiter return. Happy Jupiter return. So we're having a brief taste. We had a brief taste of Saturn in Aquarius last year. So we're expecting more unrest because, or more changes, because that was June 30, 2020 to March 21, 2020. And that was where the mass protests happened, particularly in the US and then, you know, shot around the world with Black Lives Matter and civil unrest across the world generally. So we expect more of the same push for equality and for it to be formalized into law during these two, the meetup of these two planets. Last time Saturn was in Aquarius 29 years ago, for those having their first Saturn return, being born at that time, was February 91 to January 94. And in that period, there was more civil unrest, which was the LA protests in April, late April to early May 1992, which I remember on the TV was huge, things on fire. People not happy. And for similar reasons again this time. So hopefully that will push through and we'll get results so that doesn't have to happen again. But Jupiter and Saturn will square Uranus in Taurus this time, which actually is a little similar to last time. So last time there was a stellium in Aquarius during the millennium period. So it had an Aquarian vibe. It's always interesting to look at what might happen or what it might feel or look like by looking back at when there was a group of planets in that sign another time and when that actually, that meetup happened last time too. So I just remembered it was a very Aquarian time. It was called the millennium. There were fears that time too of the millennium bug. Here we are with a bug again, but it's not a technological bug. It's a physical bug with the COVID-19. So the millennium bug was huge. Personally, I was hoping it was just, it would happen. It would wipe out my study debt, but it didn't happen. It was just a fear. And for a brief moment in 1998, as Neptune also entered Aquarius, Uranus and Jupiter were still in the sign. That makes the kids born with a signature, the true millennials, currently known as Gen Z or Zoomers, born with a screen in their hand, pretty much. So change and tech can't just advance without resistance or some sort of challenge and tension, but it suggests a fight for some sort of breakthrough, and that includes the social equality level as well. I don't think it will just flow, but a lot of that initial surge and urge to breakthrough has already laid the groundwork, and people that weren't aware last year, they're aware now. And people that were aware somewhat, aware more. Like I had an awareness, but my learning curve on that has been quite as extreme as the Bitcoin, the cryptocurrency curve, which is fantastic. And it makes it, that openness, that air. Air doesn't provide a lot of resistance. It just moves through. So I'm hoping that that is what we can expect, because people just will hopefully flow with it and step aside. But there are those squares this year, so I expect there will also be resistance. So Jupiter in Aquarius. Jupiter goes through each sign for about 1 year. It's got a 12-year cycle or orbit all up. And it often represents a bit of a trend thread for the year, a one-year trend according to the sign that it's in. So words, language, study, self-study, education, providers, science and tech, it's all just going to boom even more. Certainly there's a social enterprise using the blockchain is huge. And for those with Jupiter or specifically Saturn in Aquarius, technology is your friend. The groups and community is your friend, and there's luck in that for you, Jupiter Aquarius people and Saturn in Aquarius people. Maybe you're the ones that structure it and really form these groups. You can study, the blockchain now. You can do short courses, longer courses. It's certainly the new thing on the horizon, and I don't think it's going away. So I remember, when the computers came in, the Apple computers that were pretty with colours, that just really grew the curve towards, that later 1990s. And the blockchain is that thing. It's just so, it seems so esoteric because it's not a physical thing, but that's air and that's Aquarius. So there's a lot of jobs in that industry because the job market is really undersupplied. I think it's a great field to study, blockchain and cryptocurrency, how it works with the blockchain. You can build businesses on, you can do lots of things, social enterprise particularly. Bitcoin and Ethereum have already had vertical growth spurts, cryptocurrencies. A lot of the cryptocurrencies have followed suit, hitting extreme new heights and only just dropping off a bit in the last few days. People have become millionaires within the space of a month or so, or more, billions, creating billions. I think it's like at one point it had grown 300%. I think it was over 400, and now, yeah, that drop off. So it's an interesting thing to watch and get familiar with the cryptocurrency, because there's already countries that have developed their own cryptocurrencies and the rest are not far away. They're looking into it or they're in the process. So that idea of, well, cryptocurrency was interesting because it was decentralized, and we've heard that word a lot already, and that's very Aquarian. So I'm expecting more decentralized things happening. So there's the countries trying to kind of centralize again and also make get rid of fiat currency, which is in its final throes as well, which pretty much, you know, the capitalist system that we're living in now sort of began in that last air cycle 800 years ago, and I'll get to that as well with serfdom and feudalism. So Jupiter return for Jupiter and Aqua people, Aquarius, if you were born around, oh no, if you are around 12, 24, 36, 48, 60, 72, that's 1985, 97, 2009. I find that their fashion has gotten really airy, the antebellum dresses and sleeves, it's very airy, like it's on that Capricorn cusp, but it is air. And antebellum, I had to Google it. It means the period before a war. I should know that. I studied fashion. So the period before a war. No, I'm not saying we're going to have a war, but it's interesting. There is so much unrest. I think it's more that it's an air thing. It's an air vibe. So antebellum was the antebellum style that we're seeing now is based on the antebellum period that it's inspired by, which was 1830 to 1870. So I looked up that period to see if there was a lot of planets in the air and what was happening then. So of course there was planets in air. And Uranus was in sign in Aquarius in 1828. Remember that antebellum period is listed as starting 1830. So it's 1828, pretty much I'd say it started then and was formalized as a period in 1830. Neptune, which rules fashion, was in Aquarius in 1834. Jupiter was in Gemini, air sign, 1834. Chiron was in Gemini, 1834. Saturn in Aquarius, 1844. And Saturn conjunct Neptune in Aquarius. So when planets meet up, it's extra strong in 1844. So it was an air period. And of course, the period before that antebellum period was inspired by, the Renaissance, was the Renaissance sleeve, and that was an air period of these meetups as well, of course. There was air planets happening at the time. So expect streamlined, tech, futuristic, and metallic. Last time I remember the terms distressed, this and deconstruction were huge, and we're hearing a lot of the word dismantling and dismantled, which means the same thing as deconstruction, basically. So that was in the fashion then, and I wonder if we'll see it in the fashion now. We're certainly calling for it politically, you know, dismantle the police and things like that, like bring that air in, dissolve it. Again, this harks back very much to the Capricorn conjunctions in 2020, Pluto going through Capricorn and raising big institutions and governments and things like that. There is that as well. So now we're going to the air and hopefully just blowing it away and making space in there. So Aquarius is very androgynous as well. So embrace androgynous, unisex, and of course now the word is non-binary, mashup. Also combined with Neptune in Pisces, which is continuing to dissolve what separates us and dissolve those roles, because we've been divided obviously by gender. It's been used as a tool of division by political power, and yeah, I'm really happy to see that beginning to be dissolved. So inclusive language is a way that we can do that, and of course representation as well, represent different versions of archetypes. One of my favourite topics, which I'm on to 3.0 of ditching the gender binary we use in astrology. It's a talk that I do, a presentation on ditching the gender binary from astrology in terms of the language and archetypes we use to describe planets, signs, elements and sect, as well as a lot of things, just reflecting the sexist division that we have in our society, of course. So to change society, we have to change that from, you know, it's the little steps, change the words we use, representation, normalize different things, start to work with dissolving gender biases that we all have. So because words and pictures matter, let's not perpetrate an outdated division that was created to subdue the masses and instead liberate the system of astrology to promote wholeness. Aquarius walks to the beat of its own drum, is something we hear a lot about Aquarius, flies its unique flag, freak flag, so some, and loves the new flavors. Let's flow with those fresh winds of change. Architecture and design were very utilitarian 20 years ago, back when we had our little other mini age of Aquarius vibes. There was a lot of glass and steel and that blonde wood. Cafes looked like cafeteria. Nothing fancy, totally against Taurus, which is squares, and it was polished rather than textured and rustic, which is very Taurus, and against Leo, which is so decorative and colourful, think Liberace, with his Leo moon and Taurus sun. Electric blue is a colour associated with Aquarius. So if we're talking about trends and forecasting and what we might expect to see, neon, electricity, airy, lightness, space, metallic, spacey design, futuristic design and tech will be interesting to watch as tech is already becoming so invasive, but also built into fashion. And kids born with signature with this signature in their chart, as they come to age, they'll have a mini age themselves. They're facing their Saturn returns, and both Jupiter and Saturn will conjunct their stellium, all their planets in Aquarius. So we might see some incredible inventions from them, works of art, social contributions, or spiritual epiphanies. It's a coming of age with extra Aquarius. Anyone with significant planets or points in Aquarius as well may play a part or at least feel in tune with the zeitgeist. In terms of crystals, the amethyst is associated with Aquarius, so perhaps it's going to take over from the rose quartz and the clear quartz that we've seen so much of. So that amethyst and that amethyst purple as well. The great conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn in Aquarius, also known as the Great Mutation, which is the change of element, and of course coinciding with the change to air, mirroring that word, excuse me, the COVID has indeed mutated into a newer and apparently significantly more contagious strain, although not more detrimental to health. In an age of air, we could be more aware of the words we use and the synchronicities they reveal. So funnily enough, I keep thinking of the words the Great Conjunction as, in my mind, the Great Confluence and the Great Contagion, which, you know, it's been compared to, or people think back to the plague, the Spanish flu and SARS, things like that. So let's start with the plague. I had a little giggle. And it was during the last Jupiter-Saturn cycle in air signs that the plague happened, the Black Plague, the bubonic plague. It first arrived in Europe in 1348 and passed on by Mongol soldiers trying to take a key trade port. They flung their dead over the walls to decimate the inhabitants. This decisive and ultimately very selfish act in 1347 was pivotal to the spread of the plague. And this was during, of course, yes, the air cycle. So something that's passed on, then actually through blood, flea bites, which is a whole nother story about cats. that catch the rats that carry the fleas. But only 2 years after a conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn in Aquarius, that happened while Neptune was still in Aquarius as well. So that's interesting with that plague correlation. And that people thought of that, even though this has got nothing on that by the sounds of it, it's just, people's minds are still going back to that. At this time, people attempted to socially distance by heading to the country and avoiding the sick because the evidence of disaster was impossible to miss. It was so bad it killed 30 to 40, they say, percent of people. The plague was well named because it continued to plague populations every few years. And in the end, we get the word quarantine from the 40-day quarantine of sailors in their ships before they could disembark at that time. And here we are again. It's also been compared to SARS, the SARS outbreak in late 2002 to early 2003, because that's the last time the North Node was in air sign Gemini as it is now. I double-checked if there were more outer planets in air signs, and of course Neptune and Uranus were still in Aquarius and Saturn was in Gemini. So there's been this yo-yo of open and shut, Jupiter expansion, Saturn contraction, of movement on ideas. A focus on air. How did communication blossom last time? Well, we went from using vellum, which is made from the skin of an animal, to paper, much easier, faster and cheaper to produce with less skill. Wooden block printing became more widely used, and so more people had access to knowledge. Air moves fast and freely. It's associated with swift movement, not only of ideas and language and technology, of course, but of people. And air epochs correlate to big changes in empire and rulership. Two air cycles ago, Alexander the Great invaded Europe, broke up Persian power, and conquered most of the known world at the time. And last time, of course, 1206 to around 1406, was when Saturn and Jupiter was meeting up in air signs. So that was the 13th and 14th centuries. So back to the plague that happened right on time with that one. Initially, the loss of life after the plague left a shortage of feudal labour. So scarcity drove up the bargaining power of those labourers who weren't slaves anymore. It was like a different time. They were still tied to the land though, and they were different to peasants. So it was like the next step up after the fall of Rome, which is also associated with this cycle, interestingly. And we'll get to that. So it drove up the availability of both work and access to land for subsistence farming and the opportunity for negotiating a better deal in return and perhaps a meal for said labour. So there was a real positive for people that came out of post that plague, and it was liberating. You'd never know it at the time, but there was a very big liberation factor. So once the three powers at that time united by closing off public communal land called the commons, people became slaves to a wage and a boss. So they had no access to land to sustain themselves. As well as the loss of social and communal spaces, people went to cities to find work. So last time, the system changed from feudal to capitalist. And the three powers of the era were the church, the burgher, and the aristocrat. They united against the feudal population, which was breaking free. So the English Monty Python have these funny skits about the peasants are revolting. And indeed, there were a lot of uprisings and revolts by the peasants and also the serfs at that time. And it really could have gone either way if they had succeeded. If the three powers that be had not united, we would be probably living in a very different situation now, and history would look very different over that period of time. But they, quite a while, managed to repress those rebellions. And for me, that's something, reading about this history and looking at what's happening with the unrest and protests now and the way that everyone was pushed back, I really see that you do have to keep pushing and you do have to keep working en masse to make that change happen, because that change didn't happen. Well, a change happened, but not the way that people wanted it to happen. And that was the beginning of our capitalist, basically wage slave situation, where people don't have any means of survival. So they are under the power of someone else that has to pay them because they can't make their own food. So I found that really interesting. And I have to say, they were suppressed through bloody force, which further deepened a gender divide. And that was interesting to read. So the population suppressed itself with infighting, and which puts new meaning to the ultimate divided they fall, with that gender divide just splitting through everyone. And I think the non-binary idea is an interesting side door out of that, and way to then start maybe imploding or dissolving it from another space and from outside the box, literally outside that polarity. So of course there was a gender divide, but it really was strengthened by the law at this time. All of a sudden, women weren't allowed to be paid as much. So they may have been getting hired, and then the guys would complain, and then women would be banned from a place. Men would push them out. Then women by law could not work or earn a wage, or they could kind of work at home but not be paid. And, their work became pushed into this very dependent space. And it was, there was the burning of the witches through this time as well, which basically translates to of women, and it just seemed to be a war against women. But the reason for it seemed to be to destabilize society, because, women need to be that central and, a central pinnacle to society, to their family, to their community, to everything, at least equal. Everyone's just people, right? So to cut out one, whether it's women, men, or whatever, choose someone because of their eye color and oppress them, it puts everyone into this infighting, oppressive situation, and it totally destabilized communities. So, yes, and there was like oppressing women through the church, burning, calling them witches, which is ridiculous. And it became actually, with even the witch hunts and the Inquisition, initially that was pretty equal, and then it just went more and more into a war against women. So those small wins that people have with little bits of greed turn out to be equal and devastating ultimate loss. So, yes, united we stand. And I think when we say, oh, we can never unite with that person, it doesn't mean doing the wrong thing. It just means those divides, they're the divides that will continue to polarize and create a rift, which gives power to someone else because it weakens yours. So the gift of Neptune in this Pisces era, of course, is to dissolve those and unite people. So it's an interesting blend that we've got going on. So back last time, the last air cycle, 800 years ago, Genghis Khan knew this and united the Mongols and took China. So we saw the fall of the Roman Empire as well during this one of these cycles, and also the end of the Islamic Golden Age. So empires can seem to rise and fall, and again, it's that movement of people also. The air period comes after the earth period, which is probably building empires. I always think of the earth as, or Capricorn particularly, empire. So building those empires, and then the air comes along and blows the house down and sets up something else. Connectivity and networks are highlighted under the mobility of the air element. And last time, it was the trade routes known as the Silk Road, which positioned China as a major player. And this time around, China happens to be reopening the Silk Road and extending it in a $900 trillion project called the Belt and Road Initiative, the IBR for short, also known as One Belt, One Road. The aim of this scheme, as China explained recently, is to kindle a new era of globalization, a golden age of commerce. Beijing says it will ultimately lend as much as $8 trillion for infrastructure in 68 countries. So that last quote is from an Australian government website. And here in Australia, a state, Victoria, has signed on to it, even though that was against Canberra, the federal government's wishes, because we have also got something signed with the US. So I'm not sure what will happen there. It seems interesting in terms of a different sort of strategy that China's using and really coming out with, like, letting us know what's happening rather than hiding things. And it will use all of their systems and technology, and yeah, it's certainly something to Google and have a look at, just to watch, like the cryptocurrency. They're just two things coming up on the horizon. Well, crypto's definitely here. So they also, China also has the social credit system that seems fairly new and they're trialing. It's interesting that it has the word social in it. You know, that's an air word, but it's about control. So it's sort of like you're using these things in the old way with that control element to it. So I'm wondering how much this will all break through and free and start to change. But then remembering Pluto is still in Capricorn for a few years yet. In terms of China's cryptocurrency, they have one that they're trialing, and they're looking at it as a centralized control, which of course is the opposite of the original ideology of cryptocurrency, which is decentralized, basically. No control. No one has control. No one can control it. So that's called the Digital Currency Electronic Payment, DCEP, and it's backed by the yuan, which is China's national currency, becomes the dominant world currency in competition with the USD, which now dominates globally, economically. And part of the strategy is that there are so many Chinese living outside of China, it will be used globally. It won't just be used within the country. And they hope that that will be the world's major currency, then that's what we'll all be using. But the problem is that one country that does bully will be in control of it. So personally, I like the idea of the decentralized cryptocurrency, which is broken from state. That's the idea of it, which is really rather revolutionary. And of course, it was a response. The cryptocurrency was a response to the GFC. So the US has been the most recent superpower, but experiencing decline unless it can radically adapt and deeply transform, leaving China looking poised for superpowerdom, if that's a word. Decentralized education using technology, we've already started seeing it. People that didn't have the privilege before and access to education now will have more. I just saw something actually on Instagram, was interesting. It was a classroom in the US and everyone had these little clear guards, like cubicles, because of the COVID, just to make it less transferable. But to me, I mean, it's interesting. Aquarius is a word for that is compartmentalized. And even Aquarians I know, they'll say, I compartmentalize things. And that's part of their strategy. Like, it's a natural ability to stay detached and be detached about one thing, stick to that and not bring in everything, like merging it like water, which is emotional, which will feel the whole thing. The air is, will turn to compartmentalization. So that compartmentalizing in a cubicle in an educational environment it was interesting. And it was a student that was obviously more keyed in and progressive than the teacher, telling the teacher how it was with something. So to me, that was really this new energy coming up. You know, there was a time, especially a very earth time, where, you know, you respect that person in authority and, you know, a student would never do that and the teacher would have the power to obviously reprimand or punish that student. And perhaps that egalitarian quality of Aquarius is different. So pitfalls. Oh, no, I'm still going with this one. So decentralized education, of course, science, experimentation, flight, anything to do with air, flight and movement, tech companies, obviously Tesla and Elon Musk will continue doing well with his space program, Starlink. SpaceX program and Starlink, or is that Starlink? And of course, he has a planet in, I think he has Mars in Aquarius. I had to look him up. I'm like, surely this guy's got something in Aquarius. So he does. So people in that area will continue to do well, obviously. Aquarius and Uranus are associated with electricity as well, and he has the electric car. And maybe we'll see more of that alternative energy coming through. I hope so. Maybe solar power will take a leap as well due to the Leo Aquarius axis there. Could get triggered. Pitfalls and shadow. Well, obviously tracking data and people to control and manipulate them, mad science, and the cost to the individual for the ideal good of the masses. Leo is individual sovereignty, self-expression, and perhaps that being the opposite may become more demonized. Individual rights quashed for public good. So that's a real shadow that could be there. Further separation between mind and body. Aquarius really gets lost in the head and could value intellect and air and reject the body and its needs and its intelligence, obviously, which, as we know, it's all one thing. They're not separate. So how useful is this invention really? It could be a great idea, but the reality may not be. So that's a good question for this time. How useful is this? You know, bring the earth in that might be missing in a positive way. You know, how is this with our body? You have to go back to that Taurus that Aquarius does square. How is this with our body? They're both equal. Is this healthy? Is this supporting the body, or is it against the body? There's a book called Against Nature. It's French, Arbores. In French, it's called Arbores. And I think of that with this. It's like controlling nature, controlling the body, controlling the resources, but at a cost. It's not sustainable. So the tech specs of this 20-year Jupiter-Saturn cycle in five-year increments, it will process because it's 20 years, progress. Jupiter-Saturn conjunction, of course, December 2020. 5 years later, it will be the waxing square, 2024 to 2025. So you can use this to plan. Jupiter-Saturn opposition, 2029 is the cycle peak. Jupiter-Saturn square, 2035 to 2036. The waning square, that is, and Jupiter-Saturn conjunction will be the end of this cycle in 2040 and the beginning of a new water cycle. So you'll be 20 years older. So looking and 10 years at the opposition, they'll be in the opposite part of your chart. The opposition is like the full moon, the fulfillment of the cycle. So there's an optimistic up push through the waxing and then the fulfillment and then a harvesting and then starting to wind down. So where is this in your chart? The area of your chart hosting this conjunction is also hosting Jupiter for a year and Saturn for 2.5 years. So how will you express the energy of those planets individually, together, and, of course, this marking not just a new cycle but the Great Mutation situation? There's a lot of positivity there, and there's a lot of, with the Jupiter and optimism, reach out. You can really grow and expand that, and you can make it last because Saturn's there. You know, and Saturn won't perhaps be as contracting because Jupiter's also there. So make sure you get a good balance with those two. Once Jupiter's moved on, Saturn will still be there as well. So you can set your intentions and a ritual. The conjunction's already happened, but because it's such a big cycle, the like planting intentions is still, you know, up for grabs, basically. So if you do an air ritual, that would be smoke, sound, blowing, writing, journaling, you know, communication, all those things. I always like a bit of smoke, burning of the sage. It's interesting that it happened around, you know, New Year's intentions. So if you did set those intentions or resolutions, they could very well stick. So with manifesting, obviously, there's always careful what you wish for because you'll probably get it. So Jupiter is about abundance, growth, and amplification. So, have the faith, make it positive, think big. Think about bringing more air and space into that area of your life as well, and teching up. Why not? So there's so much more to these things. There's a lot of layers. There's all the other aspects that are happening at the moment. And there is, you know, how is this interacting with your personal chart? The thing with astrology is, you know, keeping it really simple, but then you're losing the bigger picture as well. So you can have that little quick bite, but no, there's a lot more to it. But that's the idea for now. Air signs, obviously, Aquarius, this is your year. Go for it. Absolutely go for it. Don't hold back. Expand. Get your knowledge out there. Wherever it is, you know, step up, because it's a once in a 12-year opportunity. This is going to expand your sun. Anyone else, as I said, with strong air placements, or Aquarius particularly, go for it. Other air signs, you get trines, fire, you get sextiles, always as good as it sounds. Same with the Saturn, will be stabilizing. So you'll get those at a slower pace from that Saturn through Aquarius as well. And again, regardless of what sign placements you have, depends where these guys are traveling through in your chart. If they're up near your midheaven, the top of your chart, that's a real, like, that's a bit of a full moon moment in your chart. It's a real moment for harvesting. I love that Saturn Jupiter at the top. It's, yeah, go for it. Don't hold back. If it's down the bottom of your chart, work hard, because you will reap what you sow when they get to the top of your chart. People with them coming across the ascendant, well, you know, open your horizons up. You'll really be representing, as well as that 10th house, representing this vibe very naturally and easily with the Aquarius ascendant and midheaven and so on. Of course, you can always book in with an astrologer to discuss what this looks like for you, which is me, and of course so many others are practicing now. It's always interesting to get a couple of readings, because it's not like one's right and one's wrong necessarily. It's just we all see different parts of a very large picture and have different focus. So whoever you resonate with, it's more about the feeling and what you resonate with. So go for that and enjoy. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast and this episode, my first solo. Being one-on-one with me. I'll do a few more through the year. Mostly I'm looking at having guests, but let's build the confidence and the solar power, the cosmic power, and enjoy the beginning of your year. And remember to be the change. Group up, you know, united we stand, stronger, strength in numbers, you know, all of that for a reason. But it's in your own life, what change can you affect? What change do you need? And what change don't you need? Like, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater either. It's not really necessary. Thank you for joining me today. This has been Vanessa Montgomery. For more astro and modern mysticism, find me at astroallstars.com. Remember, that's stars with a Z. Take care and stay cosmic.